Hi everyone, Sane Man here. This video is brought to you by a donation from Mr. Anonymous, and here's what he has to say. Hi Sane Man, I'd like to bring to your attention Pakistani women, and the culture of arranged marriage which exists in Pakistani society, and the larger Pakistani diaspora throughout the world. One of the largest diasporas in the world, spanning every continent on Earth. Yes, Pakistan also has a population in Antarctica, and a research station there. In our culture, men and women are conditioned and groomed from an early age to prepare to be married, to a spouse of their parents' choosing. Often this is done with little to no regard for the individual's aspirations, but rather for upward social mobility, strengthening existing family ties, because Pakistanis are amongst the most consanguineous in the world. Plain material gain, or worse, a green card or a passport to a better life in the West. If a woman is prepared to abandon her country, her parents, and friends, she will have little to no qualms dropping her husband in a New York minute. The moment the man ceases to offer any utility, usually the precise moment she gets her green card or shiny new passport. Given Pakistani culture is very insular and generally frowns upon marrying outside of the community, it means that our men are trapped with no way out. Your videos are increasingly addressing women of various nationalities, and not just the Western ones. Thus, it's not just Western men, but men throughout the world who you should actually be sharing your horror stories with. Despite this, there seems to be a false notion in some people's minds that women from the Middle East or Far East are different. Thank you. Well, Mr. Anonymous, thanks for the donation as well as the topic. Recently, I was accused of saying that men should go East because they tame the feminist beast. But that's just not the case. I'll share a few of my own stories about Pakistani women in Canada. But let me first tell everyone about today's sponsor, the MGTOW's Guide to Retiring on 200K in Southeast Asia. Luca Vendetti is the author. He left the West taking his savings with him and achieving his goal of retirement at the age of 33. The book shows you how you can easily do the same and easily create a passive monthly income covering your expenses in Southeast Asia. It's a great book for someone like Venchen MGTOW. Instead of heading to Asia and feeling overwhelmed, he could have read this and know a little bit more about what he was getting himself into. Maybe you as a man were meant to be drinking dirty martinis on the beach, taking Polaroids of ladyboys, if that's what you're into. What have you actually got to lose except your slavery to the corporate veal fattening pens? Visit MGTOWBooks.com and use the promo code SANDMAN to get 10% off. Now available in four formats. PDF, Mobi for Kindle, EPUB, and text-to-speech MP3. Anyways, now back to women dressed like walking Christmas ornaments in the East Clown World Show. In Canada, I've seen both extremes with regards to Pakistani culture. I photographed half a Pakistani wedding for 4 days here in Canada. I say only half a wedding because I was hired to only photograph the male side of things and not the female. I got the job through a female photographer that I regularly work with, and she needed a man to take pictures of the male side of things. The same has happened before with Orthodox Jew weddings, but that's a story for another day. All I could keep asking myself as I was looking onto this lavish show of gluttonous feasting and partying was that how spoiled do you actually have to be as a woman to not have one big wedding day the way that Western women do, but that you gotta be a hardcore narcissist to have a wedding that lasts a week in some cases. So when Westerners complain about one wedding day being expensive and a waste of money, they need to look to India and Pakistan, where they party for a week, and yet they still have yet to master toilet technology in some places. I'm looking at you, India. That wedding I was taking pictures of was obviously an arranged marriage, and both sides had a lot of money. On the other side, I knew a Greek guy from the Eastern Orthodox religion that fell in love with and married a woman from Pakistan in Canada. She came here to Canada with her mother, and her father stayed back home, where he was a regional warlord up near the Afghani border. After they got married here legally, they went back and got married over there as well. That's about all I can say without giving away identities. But when you have a Greek identity and they've been fighting Muslim Turks for centuries, many people might see you as a traitor to your own people. But the reason I'm bringing up this story is to show that sometimes Pakistani women do escape the traditional arranged marriage arrangement and strike it out on their own. But I'm not exactly sure how hard that is for them. They have to be risk takers, artists, or free thinkers. They have to be willing to walk away from Islam, and they can do that to some extent if they are in Canada. But I wonder if that woman would have been able to do the same thing if her father was here. Probably not. Also, a Pakistani woman marrying a white European male is probably not looked down upon all that much, as the women around her see that male as higher status, especially if he comes from Eastern Europe and is more masculine than the men she has to choose from in her own background. But I can imagine how much hate you're going to get from your family and friends as a Pakistani man if you try and marry a white woman. The hell your mother will actually give you if you don't marry a controlling woman like herself. Again, I have to stress that the story I just shared is the exception, and not the rule. Most Indian and Pakistani women I know end up getting married to the people in the same background. To be fair, most people in Eastern European descent do the same thing. Pakistani people do not have a monopoly on national and cultural inbreeding. The only difference is that in places like Eastern Europe, you have what I'd like to call soft arranged marriage. Growing up, you're surrounded by people from your own background, and outsiders are generally excluded. So this encourages you to fall in love with a woman from a similar social, religious, culture, and financial status. If you don't marry one of the two or three women you have to choose from, then you're pretty much kicked out of your own cultural club, the club that's also your emotional crutch your entire life. Luckily for me, I was never accepted by my social group, because I guess I was just too damn weird for them. If I had done what was expected of me, I would have been a doctor or businessman with an Eastern European wife that likes to yell at me to the point where I go insane in my 60s. I've seen this happen to guys that are perfectly content being on their own. Women in Pakistan, as much of the East, are ruthlessly materialistic and petty. It takes a brave Pakistani man to walk away from his own culture, social club, and arranged wife, even in the West, where the local white women see him as very lower sexual marketplace value than them. So I agree with you, Mr. Anonymous, that you're trapped with no way out. At least an Eastern European can still find a Western European wife to be with. But if you're an Asian man or male of non-European descent, it's definitely harder for you, because even if you escape your culture and arrange marriage, usually there isn't a white as wonderbed woman on the other side waiting for you and accepting you in all your multicultural glory. Unless, of course, she's just using you as a shawarma sugar daddy. Someone that cooks her food for low, low prices. That Pakistani woman that married the Greek guy, she was just one child from her father from one of his wives. Plus, she was in another country, so her father couldn't exactly discipline her. He probably had over a dozen children, and at that point, you tend to be lenient because you have two or three children that are disappointments, but as long as the majority turn out the way you wanted and pass down your genes, then what do you care? I also knew a Pakistani guy that was from a Christian family. I was surprised to meet someone like that, and he was with a woman from Hindu background. She was trying to monkey branch to me, but I wasn't interested. So she monkey branched to a guy that was 15 years younger than her. Yes, she's a high-quality woman from the standpoint of being laid back and doesn't nag and is intelligent. The more intelligent and pleasant to be around a woman is, the less she's going to try on her physical appearance. That's been my experience. So that should tell you what to expect from the personalities of many of the complex cooch costumes that they wore. But that didn't mean that the less colorful Pakistani and Indian women are different in what they want from life than other women. They just have to work a lot harder on their physical appearance to get it. Those women are also more assimilated into Western culture. So it's possible to escape a traditional Pakistani and Hindu upbringing and fit into Western culture if your parents move to a small town and run a motel in a place where you're the only ones from your background living there. Then you as a Pakistani guy growing up in a predominantly Western community will usually be accepted, and people won't see you all that differently than the so-called heritage Canadians. That was my experience growing up. But a lot of the Indian people I knew from earlier in life that grew up here in the 1980s decided to leave their communities after immigration ramped up because it became too Indian for even them. The critical race theorists will say that they had internalized racism because they supposedly preferred white people. What they actually prefer is people with the same culture, and skin color is just an afterthought. They usually prefer people of their own background that have similar experiences in childhood. Years ago, I met a guy at a men's rights event that was a Pakistani, and he was a soldier in Canada's military. And he was at the event to help him pick a good woman and learn about the characteristics of the bad ones. He wanted to go his own way, but the pressure to get married to a Pakistani woman was just too great. Luckily, his family didn't force him into an arranged marriage. I wonder what happened to him. Not only was there pressure to get married from his culture and family, but also the Muslim religion. He had red-pilled himself, and he was torn between all those cultural, family, and religious expectations, and his own reason and rationality. On the other end, I'm sure there was a woman out there that would benefit from all the pressure that eventually led him to get married and have a family. Where do you think religious and cultural pressure on a man comes from? It usually comes from his mother or grandmother when he's younger in a specific cultural background, forcing him to hang out with girls from his own background. It's also women that tend to be more religious because it's a tool to keep men more honest and for women to cloak themselves in a veil of virtue signaling. No pun intended. Mr. Anonymous, you also said that I mentioned that women from Eastern backgrounds are different than the women from Western ones. Let me make this clear to everyone. Female nature is universal. How women express it varies from place to place. In Eastern countries, women use their beauty, cook up a delicious feast, and in some places put on a lot of effort cleaning a man's cock, and their power and influence is generally covert. That man believes that he's being rewarded, but all she's doing is making him retarded by falling deeper in love with her, and then extracting his resources, while women in the West are a lot more overt about their power demands. I also believe that the difference between the so-called traditional developing world and the progressive developed world can be seen in how well women treat men in any given society. If the men are treated better, the place tends to be a shithole, because men aren't motivated to work and produce as much. But if the place is developed and orderly, men are generally more frustrated by women's behavior, and therefore have to compete with one another for what few scarce so-called good women there are. But in the West, men convert a lot of their sexual angst into productive energy that benefits society. Then with the looming threat of divorce, they still can't relax, and actually have to keep producing at full speed ahead. I've seen this in Eastern Europe where men with good women become fat, happy, lazy, and stupid. The same thing started to happen to me before. Some of the most successful guys I've known were lucky enough to marry a bad wife that never left them. I know it sounds counterintuitive and crazy, but it's the truth. Anyways, that's it for today. Thanks again to Mr. Anonymous for the donation and topic. Don't forget to smash the like button the way that Pakistani men are pressured into smashing a wife picked by their overbearing mothers. Bang the bell and check out the mystery link. Follow me on BitChute, Twitter, and Facebook to get tomorrow's video today. Subscribe to me on Minds, Odyssey, and MGTOW.TV to get the video for the day after tomorrow. This channel's been demonetized, and if you want to help me keep making content, then please support me through Subscribestar. There's a link to it in the description. Or you can do an hour-long coaching chat with the Sandman for $45, and I won't rush you out the door like a cheap whore. Thanks for taking your daily dose of red pills, and remember, a red pill a day keeps the arranged marriages where the woman went from being a cute kid to a fat, ugly adult dressed in a clown suit with sparkles away. So enjoy the rest of your day, and cheers.